Welcome back to another episode of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I am thrilled because it's going to be a fun episode today. I'm a little late getting it out, but there's plenty of reason for that, partly because the holidays kind of interfered with getting some things scheduled and getting some people lined up. But I do want to start by at least saying that if you're interested in being a part of one of these, please reach out to me. I would love to get you involved. I've got a lot of people nominating other people, but I never want to just throw you to the wolves. So if you are interested or if you have something on your heart, if there's something that you want to share, maybe if it's just part of your testimony, part of your story, what God's leading you, where he's leading you, what's been going on, I just want you to have an opportunity to be able to do that, partly to get to know our community, know our people, even just know how we can minister to one another in our church or even in churches in our area. But today is going to be a little bit different episode. I am going to just take a few moments and share some things with you that have been on my heart a lot lately that you've heard me talk about, but it's hard to really dissect on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or anything in that nature. So I thought today we would take a few moments and break some things down for you so that you kind of had a clear understanding of where I'm at, where I'm going, and you can know how you can stay involved in some of the things that we have going at the church. So if you've got your morning cup of coffee, take a sip and let's get into it. So to kind of kick off, you guys heard a couple of weeks ago in my sermon on Ezekiel 37, talking about how God brings all things back together. And within that, I shared about three goals that I was working on for this year. These are kind of pastoral goals, goals that are more for me personally, but they do affect the life of our church to an extent, and they also affect you. And so I want to make sure that there's a clear understanding of where I'm coming from, where I'm at. And then one of the pieces that I've begun to realize about goal setting that I'm not naturally good at is goal setting requires measurability. So at some point, you have to be able to measure the goal. You have to be able to say, this is what we are striving to do, and this is how we are going to know that we have achieved it. And so instead of just creating vague ideas and vague goals, I wanted to be able to give you at least a little bit more understanding beyond the philosophy, but even what are the metrics that I'll be looking at to measure some of these things? What's kind of the scorecard that we're going to use to determine whether or not we are accomplishing and meeting some of these things? And so the philosophy behind this is really around three kinds of measurements that we can utilize for each goal. The first one being participation. So like who shows up, who's involved. I'm a firm believer that participation is a key component to every goal that we have mentioned, but mostly to the goal of building fellowship and community in the church. You're going to be hard pressed to build fellowship and community when you're not present. And so participation is going to be there. It's also something that's observable. It's a metric that we can count, and it's kind of a non-threatening thing. We do count in certain ways to make sure that we are being effective or that we are at least doing our best to reach out to our community. And if that metric ever goes south, we'll know that, hey, something needs to change, trajectory needs to change, course needs to change. So we do use numbers, I guess, or participation to help us gauge metrics. But please understand this, we are not, numbers are not law. So we don't base our ministry goals and programs around numbers, but we do use those to determine effectiveness and making sure that primarily myself as shepherd and the leadership of the church, that we are doing what needs to be done to effectively reach our community. And then we understand that one of the other measures that we use with each of these goals is practice. In other words, what rhythms or what habits are we forming through this? And this will be more of a behavioral thing. We've already seen through the past 3 years, the atmosphere as well as the presentation of our church has adjusted ever so slightly. And so we want to make sure that we are also putting rhythms and habits into place that will indicate formation, not just attendance. So again, attendance is essential. Participation is essential. But beyond that number of people showing up, what's the formations that are taking place? Where are people going from point A to point B? How are they growing? How are they getting there? And then one of the other pieces that we're going to be looking for is the aspect of fruit. What is changing, right? So we're going to be listening for stories and testimonies, and we're going to be listening for even visible transformation. That is a huge component to our life in the gospel, because as the message of the gospel exposes the sin in our lives and begins to illuminate that sin so that we can course correct, that we can get things right, we can repent, we can kneel at the cross, we can be restored in that way. One of the things that we are doing is we're looking for actual signs of visible transformation. Simple things like you guys have heard me, you've seen me pass out recently, just little pins of Pastor Charles's Bible Buddies. We're going to continue that process and we'll probably make more little pins later. But mostly because I just want to see, like, man, are you even like bringing your Bible to church? Are you engaging with it? Again, I've told my deacons this and I'll share it with you as well. There are so many things where I'm not in every individual home throughout the week. And so I want to at least at one day of the week know that the people of our church are engaging God's word, because after you leave on a Sunday, I'm not sure what engagement you have with it Monday through Saturday. So Sunday is really the only kind of measure that I have for that. So we're going to continue that process too. But these things essentially are just there for me to help me know, you know, where to shepherd, where to lead, and where to go. Because without a clear understanding of what you need and where, how you need to get from A to B, it's hard to just kind of throw darts at a board and hope something sticks, right? So we want to use those stories to tell us how God is working in our church and how God is working in your life. And so those are kind of some of the measurements that we are going to use. And these measurements will be done in practical ways. And so if you remember the three goals that we laid out for 2026, at least for myself to you, involve Sunday school growth. And when I say growth, we'll talk a little bit more about growth, not just numerically, but also growth in terms of formation. So Sunday school growth is one of the goals for this year, and that's from nursery all the way up through senior adults. So if you're a Sunday school class, which I include, nursery is a Sunday school class, it's a ministry of the church, all the way through, like, we want to make sure that there's growth that's taking place. The other one is a discipleship involvement, I guess is a good way to say it. Or really intentional discipleship, Charles, is a better way to say it. And intentional discipleship is essentially the ability for us to take discipleship and bring it to where it is done within the context of day-to-day life, and we are intentional with it. And so how we develop that, how we present that, and then how you utilize that. So those are going to be some of the focal points we have there. And then the last one is one that I think is really special for me and really important to my heart this next year. And I would even say that it is, if I had to rate the goals 1 to 3, this one would probably be, though it is the third goal listed, it is probably to me one of the more important ones. And that is authenticity. Authenticity is one that is so essential for reaching the next generation. People today are not looking for church as we typically know it, or they're not looking for even the idea of performance or entertainment based. They want to know, like, are you real? And what you say on Sundays and what you are listening to? Is that who you truly are? They want to see the authenticity that is there. And so that was kind of a fun one, though. Like, how do you measure authenticity? So we're going to talk a little bit about kind of some of the things that we're going to look for and see in that as well when you get to that one. But really the best way to do this is to just break down each one of those goals one by one. So I want to take a quick moment and do that for us here. Starting with Sunday school growth. Again, Sunday school growth is about numerical and formational growth, also the development of closer community and aspects of discipleship. But in reality, this is not about filling rooms. In fact, I'm a firm believer, and you can ask anybody that you've talked to about this. Once a class reaches a certain capacity, it is very difficult to continue to build authentic fellowship and community. And I'm a firm believer that churches need to be regularly starting Sunday school classes. This is something that we may not think about, but is one of the primary church growth tools that has been used for a long time. For our teachers and leaders, we're going to be looking at field guides that but in reality, it's me, are currently creating to help us understand Flake's formula, which is a formula that's been around for many years. Robert Flake was fantastic in bringing about this structure for how to engage Sunday schools and really give them purpose and meaning. So I'm excited about that and what that's going to look like for us. But the participation metrics that we're going to be using for these are things about attendance. Currently we track attendance. We try to know like who is here, who is not, where have we kind of tapered off, where are we growing, have we plateaued? And you know, one of the concerns I've had is, you know, when I first showed up, we were having a certain number average. And then after a while, we really began to grow into reaching over 100 in our Sunday school programs on a Sunday morning. And those things are great, but we began to plateau and then taper back down. And part of that is just habit. People get out of habit. We get out of routine and we go on this decline in our participation of that. And so we want to be able to give you guys an opportunity to get more involved in that way again. And if it's an area of engagement that we can fix, if maybe there's something that is keeping you from being more regularly, we want to talk about those things, address those things, and try to see where we can improve things. This does not mean that we can solve every problem. There's really no way to do that. But we do want to try to engage what we can and where we can. And so one of the other pieces that we'll look at is the percentage of our Sunday school attendance against the percentage of our worship attendance. How many people that are attending worship or attending Sunday school? And so that may be something where you see a stronger engagement on Sunday mornings from the pulpit of drawing people into Sunday school. Also, looking at the amount of classes that we have and even considering the class size, we're going to be looking for underfilled and overcrowded classes and discovering what are the ways that we can maneuver some things around. As of right now, we have 1, 2, potentially 3, and then we can create a little bit more space if we need to. In fact, I'm willing to open my office up for a Sunday school class if we need to. So we have opportunity to create right now 3 to 4 classes on a Sunday morning. And even the addition of another kids class that we can create and do. So we have the space and the ability to do that, and we could really grow our program. But we just want to make sure that we've got the space needed to do it. So one of the targets that we're going to be looking at least some kind of some healthy examples, is we're going to look for a certain percentage increase in average attendance by the end of 2026. This will probably be somewhere in the ballpark of like a 15 to 20% increase. And trying to base that off of our average attendance right now, which is anywhere between 80 to 100, we want to see each class grow by like 15, 20%. Now you may be thinking, man, I don't know if I can do that. Promise you that you can. We have the people on Sunday mornings to make that happen. As of right now, our average Sunday attendance for worship is anywhere between 180 to 200. And so there's plenty of room there for that. And then we want to make sure that with that, the worship attendance on Sunday morning, that around 65 to 70% of those who are attending on Sunday morning are connected to a class in some way. So again, you can do kind of the math on that a little bit, but we are really, really going to hit and see if we can make those things happen. And so that's how we measure Sunday school through participation. But then there's also this idea of practice. How do we know that we are engaging the growth aspect, not just numerically, but also in spiritual formation? And so one of the things we're going to do is we're going to be talking with teachers and Sunday school leaders and asking questions like, hey, is your class regularly opening scripture weekly? And are you discussing it and talking about it? That should be a no-brainer. But granted, sometimes there are just moments where we get caught up in other things and we just never get around to it. So we want to make sure that we are engaging scripture weekly. We also want to make sure that prayer as a group is happening regularly. Recently, Robert Griffin had told me that one of the things he's begun to institute in his class is praying specifically over people within our church and their families and just different things. And I thought, man, what a clever way to engage the prayer life of our church in such a neat context. And so making sure that prayer is regularly a part. And then the other kind of thing that we're going to be talking with teachers and leaders about is asking things like, are people sharing life beyond the lesson? In other words, is this a lecture format type thing, or is it an engagement format? And are people sharing things about their life within that process? And so, you know, simply saying that we know that we are going to be looking in some of those areas to try to figure out like, hey, are we functioning in the way that we need to, or is there some improvement that we need to do? And then there's the fruit metrics. This one is really kind of more qualitative than anything else. And so we want to try, and it's, again, it's hard to figure out exactly how to do it yet. But if you've got an idea on that, I'm all ears. Maybe you're kind of that type A organizer and you're like, hey, I can help you figure that out. We want to kind of collect 1 to 2 testimonies per quarter. Things like, hey, new friendships, new relationships formed. Maybe spiritual growth or spiritual hurdles that have been overcome in class. And even I would say this one, classes that are connecting with those who maybe have been absent for a while and seeing those who have been disconnected reconnect again. These are great stories of fruit that help us know, hey, we're doing a great job, or hey, we've got some improvement we need to work on. So the key question I think for that is Sunday school becoming the front door to community again? Is Sunday school becoming the front door to community again? So we're going to try our best to make sure that we are putting the metrics and the things in place to help engage that. The second goal deals with discipleship and engagement and discipleship. And this is moving from just attendance and community to more intentional formation. And one of the ways that we're going to do this is through the development of and release of, hopefully by this spring, a discipleship primer. Now, I have gone back and forth about how this is going to happen, and back and forth in my mind between like what we've always been told as pastors to do, and then what you have to look at in the context of the people. Most of our people work away from our community. And so to ask them to extend their day even longer to spend time at church during the week, that's not a Sunday or a weekend, it's almost just impossible. And I know this and I get this because with a family and all the things that family requires and everything that family does, it is hard to get away. And so if it's difficult for me, there's no doubt that it's difficult for other families and other people as well. So one of the things that we are going to be doing is introducing a discipleship primer where you will be able to log in and watch videos, and then from that, be able to do work that gives you a strong theological basis. And after you finish that, you are then empowered to be able to say, hey, let me grab three or four people and bring them into this group with me. Let me stress this too. These groups that I would love for people to create do not have to always include people from our church. And I don't know another way to stress that, but you know, the gospel tells us not to create disciples of the church, but to create disciples of the gospel, the message of Christ. And so sometimes you're going to create a group, maybe it's called a Bible study group or whatever you call it, that meets outside of Sunday mornings, maybe outside of Wednesday nights. And it may be three or four of you coming together, and it's very intentional, very purposeful. And there's a good chance that over half of the people may not even go to our church, and that's okay. The goal again is growth. And so we want to see these active discipleship groups created. And as you create those groups, we want to know about it. Again, just so that we can make sure that what we are doing is happening. And so we're going to be looking at that from a participation metric as well, right? Like how many adults are engaged in any sort of an intentional discipleship kind of pathway. And through this too, we're hoping to develop a leadership pipeline coming into the fall and winter that maybe ministry is something that you haven't really thought too hard about, but you feel like God's calling you in some way. We want to be able to give you the tools to work and do so that you can be an active part of that. And so some of the target examples that we may be looking at is, you know, what percentage of adults are we hoping to engage in maybe a new discipleship habit or rhythm by the end of the year? I'd love it if 20 to 30% of the adults from Sunday morning worship are engaged in discipleship in some form. Think about that, right? Do the math. That's like 40 people. That's a pretty good amount. So, you know, 40 to 50 people engaged in some way, I think would be an incredible first step to this. And I would love to see one to two new discipleship groups launched every quarter. And so, again, in order to do that, we're going to have to get the ball rolling. And the best platform that we have at our disposal right now to do that is our Right Now Media. And we're going to put some stuff about Right Now Media online as well. If you haven't signed up for that yet, if you haven't engaged that yet, let me encourage you. It's like a great Netflix of Bible studies. You're going to love it. In fact, you'll probably even be able to use that at times for your discipleship group. So I want to encourage you in that way. And so we also want to be able to measure it through practice, right? So some of the questions that we kind of ask ourselves in the shared habits that we're going to be creating is making sure that groups are meeting, you know, at least twice a month. We want you to be able to, I mean, we know that you may not be able to meet every week, but even just twice a month is helpful. And then are you centering your group around scripture and prayer and obedience? And then are leaders multiplying or inviting others in this? And so it's one thing to kind of create a group, but maybe after you've been together for a year or year and a half, somebody says, man, I want to do this with my own crew of people. Hey, by all means, man, take off, run with it. And so thinking through even the fruit aspects of that, when we start seeing intentional discipleship take place, we are also going to see, I think, an increase in baptisms. And so we'll even use baptisms as an aspect of that. Like, hey, when if you are interested in baptism, like what kind of caused you to think about that? And even membership, not just membership of the church, like joining the church, but the members of the church stepping into service roles because of their discipleship groups. But one of the biggest things that I think will help us measure the fruit of these groups is in our language and vernacular as a church. You may not think about it, but the conversations that take place on Sunday morning and throughout the week really do help measure where the church is at in terms of its relationship with God and its relationship with others. And so, are we referencing scripture? Are we praying? Is obedience to God's word just becoming natural to us? And so we're hoping to be able to capture this fruit by presenting testimonies of things that God's doing, whether these are going to be shown or given on Sunday mornings or whether we do them online, whatever that looks like. Other things will be like stories through podcasts and different things just to help you hear of what God is doing. And then also just kind of getting leaders together from these groups and kind of debriefing to say, hey, what's going on? What's working? What's not working? What ideas do you have? You know, where are you seeing people really kind of gravitate towards a study or towards a book? And so this is going to help us, because discipleship fruit is best measured in changed direction, not perfection. All we're doing within these groups is we're not trying to save someone. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. We are simply trying to steer their heart, right? We're trying to steer their heart towards a deeper relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're trying to accomplish through that. And so we want to make sure that we're helping them change that direction and not try to achieve some aspect of perfection. And then again, the last one is probably my favorite, right? Ministry authenticity. And to me, I have kind of phrased this out for myself as kind of a more of a cry for me and a reminder for me. And that phrase, that kind of tagline that I use when I think about this goal is no frills, just church, right? We're not trying to attract you to Jesus. We're just trying to be a church. And so we're not going to put on airs. We're not going to put on a show. We're not going to try to be some better version of ourselves, but we are going to try our best to just be real, to be local, right? And to be incarnational in what we do. So the biggest piece is we're not going to be performative in this or polished. We're just going to try really hard to be authentic. I love this because one of the stories that I was told recently by a new member is that one of the questions I usually ask is, you know, why Providence? You know, out of all the churches that you could have picked to be a part of, why Providence? And the response that I got back was, we're just real. We're just real people doing real life things, trying our best to be like Christ as we can. And believe it or not, just us trying to be like Jesus mattered a lot. Right. So the other piece that comes along with that too is we're not just trying to be like Christ, but we also, and we'll talk about it in a second, we also want to be a reflection of our church and a reflection of our community and the people that we are reaching in our church. And so with that, there's going to be some adjustments and they're going to be hard to swallow because they may not be what's been done. But we have to remind ourselves, like we talked about in Ezekiel 37, when there is new life that is brought in and when the people of Israel return to Babylon, you have to understand that there's a whole generation that doesn't know. There's a whole generation that's not going to understand. And they're going to come in and lead things in a different way than what they were done before. And so anytime that we introduce new life into things, it is going to adjust and it is going to shift. Even still, Jesus was very clear on this when it comes to the Gospels of saying, why would we pour new wine into old wineskins? For at risk of the old wineskins bursting open and the wine spilling all over the place. It says, no, you put new wine into new wineskins. And when he talks about that in terms of the life that he gives us and the grace that he gives us and the new life that he gives us, he's not placing new life. He's not placing his salvation into an old life. Rather, he is taking his salvation and he's recreating in us a new life, and we are a new creation. So we have to remind ourselves of that when it comes to authenticity, that part of what we have to do is reflect what God's given us as a church. So one way that we're going to do this in terms of participation is we want to see members serving, a percentage of members serving in at least one ministry, right? And it doesn't always have to be children's ministry, right? It could be young adult ministry. It could be senior adult ministry. It could be nursing home ministry. It could be bus ministry, after school ministry, youth ministry, whatever ways that we can, even worship ministry, whatever we can get people doing to serve in some way, we want to be able to do that. And then we want to look at community facing ministries. A big thing that I'm excited about that we're going to be presenting in a budget is we are creating a line item for missions and outreach, because there were a lot of events that we did this year that were hugely impactful for our community. And I cannot give that team enough credit that they really dug deep and got some things moving. And so we are going to be looking at community facing ministries, not just internal ones. If there's anything that we do great at, it's internal ministries. We do wonderful there. But there are also some ministries that we are doing that we can begin to face outward and say, hey, this is something that we should really be presenting for the community. Case in point, our after school program. That is not just an internal ministry of Providence, but that is a ministry that we give to the community, that we present to the community. It is our desire to see people in our community come to our church through that program. But more than anything, our hope is that we, for a small moment, can show these kids just an ounce or two of the love of Jesus. And so to us, that's a ministry. And then the other big piece too is we want to see about the retention rate of volunteers. This one, it can be kind of difficult because we are so volunteer heavy that it's easy to get overloaded and it's easy to experience burnout. And so before we get to those points, we have to ask ourselves, how do we retain? How do we keep? How do we not lose people in that process? All right. So we want to see a good, 60% of our regular attenders and members serving in some capacity. And so we're going to have maybe new ministries even kick off and new ministries take place. And not all those ministries are going to happen on campus, but some of those ministries are going to happen outside of the church walls. And that's great. And then the other piece of that too is we want to see an increased amount of consistency, not just people signing up. So we don't want people just checking this off, but we want them to be invested and to be intentional in that ministry process. One of the greatest ministries that I loved at one of my last churches was a ministry where the people of our church just at home on their own collected and baked goods. And what they would do is they would take these baked goods, they would make platters out of them, and they would drop them off to first responders, sheriff's departments, teachers, fire departments, just wherever they could, just as a way to say, hey, we love you, we appreciate you. We also did a moment where we had donations collected from the church and we put those together in little gift bags. And we sent teams out to local businesses within our community, within like a good 1 to 2 mile stretch of where we were, to just be able to bless them and say, hey, we love you. And we're thinking of you. So sometimes ministry efforts aren't always major and dramatic, but sometimes it's just that extension of, hey, we care about you. That matters a lot. And so I think that people recognize that and see it. And so the way that we're going to put this kind of idea of ministry authenticity into practice, and how we're going to measure that, is asking ourselves some questions. And these are going to be tough questions. And these are going to be questions that can hurt. But one of the questions that we're going to have to ask ourselves is, Are the ministries of our church aligned with real community needs? Are the ministries of our church aligned with real community needs? Believe it or not, the community does rely on the church to an extent. We are the spiritual hub for a lot of people. And so we want to make sure that our ministries are aligning with what they need. We want to even still make sure that we are reflecting that community, right? We want to make sure that even myself as a pastor, that I'm not reflecting something that's not present within the mosaic of our congregation. And so a couple of weeks back, we had talked about this in the goal setting, that instead of trying to present myself and to preach in such a way as to keep everyone happy, I want to be a better representation of who we are now as a church and what we are going to continue to reach. And so we have to ask ourselves then, are we reflecting what our community needs as a church? Also, the people of our church, are they serving out of a calling that God's placed in their heart, or are they serving out of a place of guilt? We want them to serve out of their calling. Their calling may be children's ministry. Awesome. God loves you so much. You have a special place in heaven. But their calling may be a parking lot ministry. And you're probably saying, Charles, we don't have a parking lot ministry. No, not yet. And I say not yet because it's been brewing in my mind for some time to where people feel the touch of our church from the moment they pull in the parking lot, from the moment they hit the doors, from the moment they get to their Sunday school class, from the moment they sit in that pew, and from the moment they get up to leave, they have been interacted with in multiple ways. And so we want to make sure that that's a part of what we're doing. And then the last kind of question to ask ourselves is, are the leaders of our church feeling empowered, or are they feeling micromanaged? We want them to be empowered. So how do we help them grow? What resources can we give them? What training can we give them? What help can we give them so they feel like they have empowerment in that? And so we'll do this by checking in with each other. We'll be even asking volunteers like how they feel things are going. We'll even look at through our leadership team and our deacon body of making sure that our ministries are aligned and making sure that everything is running in a good direction. And so thankfully, the beautiful thing that COVID did do is it helped us reset some things. And so I believe that as Providence, we are in a good spot and in a good place. And so I'm encouraged about that. And then how do you measure ministry authenticity in terms of fruit? The reality is, this is the heart of our church, right? And so we are going to spend our time in understanding whether or not we are living authentically as a church by listening to the stories from community members. We want to hear from them. And we want to know that they are naming our church as something that is the continual trustworthy pillar that we have been for 200 plus years. We really, truly want to be a part where we are saying, where people are saying, yeah, Providence is a strong pillar in the community. They are rock solid. They are the real deal. So we're going to be listening for those things, and we're going to be trying our best to hear those. We're also going to be looking at the people who are volunteering and whether or not they are expressing joy in what is going on. We want to make sure that that's happening, but we also want to see a sense of ownership. In other words, man, give you an idea and let you run with it. I'm a huge ideas person. Ask anybody in our church, ask any deacon in leadership. I'm an ideas person. I've constantly got a new idea circulating about things that we could do and do it different. I have to stop myself because I recognize I can't do it all. So we want to make sure that ownership is had, that if you feel strongly about it and you feel like you can run it, by golly, I want to try to help you as best I can. And then the last thing that I think is essential for us in measuring this and really helping authenticity become a regular part of our church. Ministry stories that feel unpolished. and real. Think about that. Not just ministry stories that sound good or that sound great, but what sounds real? When people say, man, I was struggling, or I was disconnected, or I was not interested in church at all. But when I got here, I felt like, man, what a great place to be. If you guys remember Ryan and his podcast a few podcasts back, that's one of the things that he just expressed at the core of his heart was the people and the reality that just spoke to him. And so we want to continue to be able to do that. So we have people that when they walk in go, wow, man, I felt that. So one of the key questions that we have to ask ourselves to know, are we being effective in our authenticity as a church? And this is a question that I regularly ask myself as it relates to the ministries of our church and the lifeblood of our church. And that question is this, that if our church disappeared tomorrow, who would feel it? If our church were to close our doors and disappear tomorrow, who would be the ones that would feel it? Who in the community would notice? Who in the community would recognize and go, whoa, what happened there? That's what we have to begin to ask ourselves. If our church disappeared tomorrow, who's going to feel it? And that's where we want to make sure that we are constantly engaging people as well. So again, simple kind of idea for us to understand the 2026 goals that Sunday school, we're going to be tracking some attendance. We're going to see percentage of connection with people in worship. We're going to be looking for elements of practice, and we're going to be looking at stories and testimonies about belonging in there. And then when it comes to discipleship, we're going to be looking at the number of groups that we form and the number of groups that are engaged. And we're going to be looking for life change and obedience and just this shared habits of spiritual rhythm and practice. So that's going to be encouraging. And then authenticity. Who's serving and where? What's the health of our leadership? Where are we aligned? And I think more importantly, does the community trust us? And so talking about these things is really going to be about your story, about how you are seeing God work in your life. And so we are going to visualize serving beyond just obligation, but we're going to be seeing serving as something done as a missionary, as one who's on mission. We're going to measure because we care. Right. And we're going to measure all of these things because we truly care about the success of our church, not just because we're chasing some sort of higher performance or obtainable thing. We just want to care. And so we're going to ask ourselves some language questions like this. Are we becoming the kind of church that we're praying to be? And if not, you know, what needs to adjust? Or questions like, where do we need to shepherd more intentionally? Like as a pastor, like, where do I need to shepherd more intentionally? So these are just kind of some breakdowns of the goals. And I know that sometimes it sounds like, hey, Charles said these three goals and it's going to be great. And there's really no other context than that. Understand, this has been 40 minutes and it's hard to do that on a Sunday morning. But I can do that in this way. So I'd encourage you, take this episode, share it with those around you, share it with your Sunday school class, share it with people from our church, just share it as much as you can so that people understand how they can get plugged in and happen. And if God's laid something on your heart, man, come find some time. Let's talk. Let's grab lunch. Let's grab coffee. Let's talk through what a ministry can look like. If I ask a lot of questions for it, it's not because I disagree, but it's because I want to try to understand the context and figure out how I can best help you on that. Providence family, I'm excited about 2026, and I hope that you're excited as well. And I think that what we do this year will be a great catalyst for our future. We've got great teams in place. We've got great committees in place. We have a fantastic deacon board. We have a wonderful leadership team who is beginning to understand what our mission and vision and strategy for our church can look like. And we are just regularly seeing people engage our church. And so I guess if there's one way to kind of finish this out for us, it is simply referring back to that tagline. Above anything else this year, we are going to desperately try to have no frills, just church. We're going to focus on Sunday school. We're going to focus on discipleship. And we're just going to focus on being real and authentic. So Providence family, I hope that you're having a great day. Hey, don't forget, if you are interested in being a part of a podcast, let me know. I'd love to get you signed up for one. Other than that, I hope things are going well, and I hope you have a blessed one.